Welcome to Yankee Arnold Ministries. Dr. Arnold will be with you in just a moment, but first, we want you to know how much we appreciate your prayers and financial support. You may help this radio ministry by donating online at yankeearnold.com or by mail at Yankee Arnold Ministries, 7028 West Waters Avenue, Suite 316, Tampa, Florida, 33634. Again, that's 7028 West Waters Avenue, Suite 316, Tampa, Florida, 33634. Feel free to send Dr. Arnold your questions or comments to Yankee at yankeearnold.com, and he will respond as quickly as possible. Now, here is Dr. Arnold with today's message.
Why do some people oppose the Ten Commandments? Well, if you stop and think about it, some people don't like God. They don't like the idea that there is a God. They don't like the Bible. They don't like something telling them that what they're doing isn't right because they feel guilty. So I hope this will help you just a little bit. The Ten Commandments contain the essence of God's moral law. You ever hear people say, well, you can't legislate morality? Or what are you going to legislate? Immorality? Yes, you can legislate morality. All our laws should be moral. They should be right. And so, yes, I believe they can. Which is embedded in man's conscience to give him a sense of justice and realization that he is not perfect and falls short of what he ought to be. 3,500 years ago at Mount Sinai, God gave to Israel through Moses the Ten Commandments. I remember when I was in the Boy Scouts, we always had to memorize the 12 Boy Scout laws. The 13th Scout law was, remember the other 12. Yeah. Then number 3 on your notes up there. Many people today do not know that the Ten Commandments are a very important part of Scripture. We talked about Exodus chapter 19 in Sunday school this morning. And we're always talking about the law of God. Believe it or not, every time I witness to somebody, I am referring to the law. Christ did not come to destroy the law. He came to fulfill the law. And so we use the law to show people that they're sinners and can't be saved by their works. Nobody's ever been saved by the law, but it does point to Christ. It shows them their need of trusting the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. So commandments 1 through 4 deal with man's relationship to God. And these are basic and affect all other relationships. See, the most important thing is you'll know that there's two great commandments. And one is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, body, soul, and strength. And the second is likened to this, love thy neighbor as thyself. And if we love God the way we should, and we love man the way we should, we wouldn't have to have all these other laws, because we would do right by each other. And the more people get away from God, away from the Bible, take away Christianity, take Bible out of the schools, and look what you're going to get. And you're going to have people that will think like an animal, look like an animal, act like an animal. They think like animals. They can't think and reason correctly. And there's people who don't understand the kind of a government that we're supposed to have in this country. They don't really understand freedom. They don't understand the work ethics. And they believe in a redistribution of wealth. You work for it. I don't have it. I want some of yours. It's kind of like people that say, you know, he has too much power. What they mean is they want some of it. They may not deserve it, but they want it anyway. But anyway, the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods beside me. The Lord, Jehovah, is the only God. There is no other God. The Allah of the Arab religious faith, Islam, isn't God. Their God isn't God. The true God is the God of Israel. He is God. And the true and living God created the heavens and the earth through His Son, Jesus Christ, and He has a Son. They said their God doesn't have a son, so he must not be God. They declare it themselves, but, and there's a lot of religions in this world. But the Lord Jehovah is the only God. He never permits any rivalry, for we are His creation and belong to Him. There is no other God. He is the only God. If you want to read some good scriptures, read the book of Isaiah, and you'll be surprised how many times it talks about, I am God. Beside me, there is no other. I don't know of any. And God says He doesn't know of any other God. Well, if He doesn't know of any, how can you? How can I? There is no other God. Now, you might make something into a God, and the Satan is called the prince of the world, the god of this world, but he's not a god in the sense that he is the almighty God. There's only one true and living God that created all. Number one, some imagine there are other gods and worship cows, other animals, or a particular river or tree. I was over in India, and there's people that worship all kinds of things. They could have a million gods, even Hinduism. You see, there's all kinds of religions, man-made things, because they don't know the truth. If you know the truth, truth sets you free from all the religions of man. But most people don't understand it. Number two, some worship the earth. Others look to the stars or to the horoscope for guidance. When you think about the world in which we live, there are people who worship this earth. They even call it Earth Day and Mother Earth, as though the earth is my mother. You ever heard of Mother Nature, haven't you? Well, we have been cursed by Father Time. But there's Mother Nature. And Mother Nature is an evolutionary concept. Humanism. And you and I are not to believe that. Neither are we supposed to go to the horoscope. God took a man named Saul home because he checked with his horoscope. By the way, you know what you call a midget fortune teller that ran away from prison? He's known as a small, medium, at large. Some of y'all will get that after a while. But number four, a few worship the mind. It's called humanism. They worship man. Man is his own God. He is God. And so there's people that even teach that God used to be a man, that Adam is now God. Mormonism teaches that. It's a terrible religion. It's not Bible. Mormonism is not a Christian faith. And you might think it is. It is not. It is a cult. It means it has an extra biblical source of authority and leadership that's contrary to the book. Number four, many worship many things like money, because money can buy cars and boats and clothes and bank accounts and positions, entertainment, popularity and accomplishments, all these things. And some people worship these things, or people who have those things. Some people worship people in sports and all that. You can enjoy a lot of things, but don't make any of these things a god. So, that was the first commandment. The second commandment, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images. God is a spirit. Therefore, it is blasphemous to seek to confine him to objects or things by bowing or praying to statues and images and crucifixes. You see, we believe in the person, the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't believe in, and I don't even like the cross that has Jesus still hanging on the cross. I got news for you. He isn't hanging on a cross. That was, if he had died in an electric chair, you'd be wearing an electric chair with him still sitting in it. I don't believe that. Jesus died on a cross. It was a cursed thing, and he was buried and came back from the dead. So the old rugged cross ought to be a precious thing to him, but we don't worship no cross. We don't worship a cross. And if you want to wear it around your neck and what it means to you, that's fine. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when things become a god to you. There are people who make statues out of a lot of different kinds of metals and gold or silver and wood, and then they bow to it. And I've even seen people that will get down and kiss a man's toe as though he's got something special about it. It's just like mistletoe. It's a foot disease. Well, that's what I thought it was. But you're not to bow down to any man, and you're not to bow to worship any kind of idols. Now, there's some scripture that simply says these same things, but tells you why. Psalms 115 and verse 4 says, "Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands." That's what they are. Men made them. And verse 5, it says, "They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not." And in verse 6, it says, "They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat." Verse 8, "They that make them are like unto them, so is everyone that trusteth in them." So there's things you and I are not to trust in. We're not to do that. Are there religions that have these things? Yes. And buddy, don't you touch them either. And they don't like it when you say things against those things either. But the Bible says they're not real. And they have no power. And all it does is capture a man's mind and diverts the worship that God deserves to a piece of junk. All because somebody made it and they try to make it into something, you know. Well, that's not what God wants us to have or wants us to do. The third commandment, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." Now, there's several ways you can take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. See, I've never sworn a cuss word. I've never taken God's name and used it in a vain way like that. I've heard a lot of people that have, and they do, and I've rebuked a few over the years. But you and I, as a child of God, can also bear his name in vain. You as a Christian, because of who you are and what you are, the way you're supposed to live, you can bring shame to his name. And you can profane his name by the things that you say and do, the way you live, and in falling in love with the things of this world and making things of this world an idol unto you. Where you live for money, you live for job, you live for people, but you don't live for the Lord. And that's like being a child of God in this world, and God has bestowed his grace upon us, and it's in vain because we're not living for him. So there's a lot of ways in which you could violate this command. Number one, God is holy. Therefore, reverence must characterize all speech using his name. The words "in vain" means idle, nothing meant by it, or irreverence. Some vent their frustration or anger by using God's name, then defend it by saying, "Oh, I didn't mean anything by it." That is the purpose of this command. Did you know that God says, "I will bring every idle word into judgment"? Every idle word. Some people don't think it's bad. Now, some people, they don't maybe use the so-called curse words that the world uses. They have Christian curse words. And they mean the same thing by it. And they will use the words, but it's a different word, but it means the same thing as what they will use. I won't even give you an example because I don't even want to put it in your mind. You know what it is. You know what they are. And you can do that. You can get mad and bitter and say things that you know is not right, and you mean the same thing as a man who uses profanity, but you won't use those same words that they may use, but you think it, and you'll say it. I told somebody one day, I says, "I have never sworn a cuss word, but there has been times when if you will write it on a piece of paper, I might sign it." But anyway, number three, God's name should only be spoken or written in a meaningful, respectful manner. The Lord's example of prayer being, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." He's a name that ought to be respected. You and I ought to respect the name of God, Jehovah, our Father, because of who he is and what he's done for us. Now, these are things that talks about our relationship to the Lord. The other one was, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. It means that God intended to have a day where man could rest, because he even refers to the creation of the world. And 6 days he created the heavens and the earth, and he rested on the seventh day because man needs a day of rest. Now, this is the only one of the Ten Commandments that you don't find mentioned in the New Testament for us to keep. All these other things are in there, and believe it or not, the things we're supposed to do, we're still supposed to do. The things we're not supposed to do, we're still not supposed to do. Does it say, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery? So those are things in there that says, mortify the deeds of the flesh. What he's talking about is the same thing that's mentioned right here in the commandments. But we don't have to honor this particular day. And when it talks about keeping the Sabbath was not a day of worship, keeping the Sabbath was not a day of work. So we worship on that day by not working. But I do believe that it's good for a person to have some downtime, some rest time. And you should learn how to discipline yourself and learn what you need to do to discipline your body. Because otherwise, you'll just keep on until you burn yourself down, and then you're going to have other consequences. So learn to take care of yourself so that you can live to a ripe old age, Lord willing. We all would like that, maybe. As long as we're in good health, right? One day we'll go through the book of Daniel, and we'll get to the diet that Daniel had. Not right now, but down the road, if the Lord should tarry. But there are some good things in the Word of God about how we should take care of ourselves and all. But this commandment begins with, remember, for after God created all things, he rested on the seventh day. Ancient people no doubt knew that the seventh day was to be holy. Israel also knew that manna did not appear on the seventh day. God gave them twice as much on the day before. And so if they tried to keep any over that they weren't supposed to, it would rotten on them. And yet they could do it on a Friday and get twice as much, and it would keep. Isn't that amazing? God does that. And he says that that was a type in the Old Testament of bread coming down from heaven. But in John chapter 6, doesn't it tell us that Jesus made the statement, I am the true bread. And Bethlehem was the house of bread. So in Bethlehem, the Bible says that God made a loaf of bread. And he was the bread that would feed the world. And that's found in the book of Micah chapter 5 and verse 2 where it says, But thou Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judea, yet out of thee shall he come forth that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from old to everlasting. The one that's going to be born in Bethlehem never had a beginning and never has an ending. He is from one end to the other. There is no beginning and there is no end. Jesus Christ was God, manifested in the flesh, and he was the bread that came down from heaven, and he says, he that eats this bread shall never hunger. You and I know and understand that that is a type of the manna in the Old Testament that God miraculously gave, but he gave them this story. He says, your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are, what? Dead. But if you eat this bread, you will not die. You will live forever. You'll have eternal life. And this is the bread that we're told is Jesus Christ. So he is the bread of life. And number three, at Sinai, God commanded Israel to keep the Sabbath day holy by resting from unnecessary work. The fifth commandment, honor thy father and thy mother. Why? So that they won't take you to the gate and have you stoned for your rebellion. That's in the Hebrew. Wasn't it wonderful that back in those days that all the families stood together and all the tribes believed the same thing and carried out the same judgment? And God says, this is not going to be tolerated. That will not be tolerated. And this here wickedness or this abomination shall not be in the nation of Israel. And if a person does it, did you know that you had the right to take your rebellious, drunken son to the gates and they could judge and then have him stoned to death? You know, after you saw a couple teenagers stoned to death, you know, you might just straighten up and fly right. There's some things that God says. Now, I'm almost glad we don't live in that day under that law. Who knows what would have happened? Most of the people in America, if they did that today, would all be executed. Honor thy father and thy mother, which that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Our first relationship is with our parents. To honor means the child obeying his parents with a respectful attitude. This is the will of God. And there's a God in heaven that knows when children are rebellious. Parents are supposed to teach and educate their children and try the best they can. Sometimes we do a good job, sometimes we don't. Sometimes in a family you could have one that obeys and one doesn't disobey. You say, well, what did I do wrong with this one? Adam and Eve had the same thing happen in their family, didn't they? I mean, one was obedient, one was disobedient. One killed the other one, the first family. Well, they couldn't say, well, it was the environment. I don't know if they could say it was the crowd, you know, the peer pressure, global warming. But anyway, number two, when a child grows up and does not obey his parents, he usually has problems with others and especially those in authority. Children that rebel against their parents as authority usually will rebel against all other authority. Any child or teenager that rebels against his parents is a poor risk for marriage. If that daughter is rebellious to her mother and dad, chances are she'll be rebellious to the man she marries. And so, therefore, they will be rebellious to God. Because, see, one of the first things children will learn, obey your mom and dad. Obey your mom and dad. But does mom and dad, should they obey the Lord? It's easier for the children to obey those that obey. Those that obey. Those that obey. So, adults are to continue to honor their parents by showing respect and concern for their welfare. So as mom and dad got older, most times in Bible days, the kids took care of the parents. That was their social security. And you raised your kids right, and back in some of those days, they used to have large families. And wouldn't it be neat if everybody had about 10 kids to take care of them? So when you got old, you know, you didn't have to worry about it. You could stay with this one for a month, that one for a month, that one for a month, that one for a month. I told my son up there, I said, get that downstairs fixed up real good for me. Because I said, Mama, we might wind up having to come and live with y'all. Ooh. Told my daughter the same thing. She says, you just come right on over here. I got a room for you. And I had a preacher friend of mine that up there in Minnesota, they had a little parsonage out by the church. And so they had built him a nice church. And they said, now, when you retire, this is yours. You can come up here and you can stay right here. And you can stay as long as you want. Won't cost you anything. You can just retire and study and write and all that. And back then, I used to think, when I retire. You know, they said that to me almost 40 years ago. And I still haven't retired yet. But they got him a new preacher not long ago, and he didn't like the parsonage. So they bulldozed it down, and they put in a double wide. He's no longer the pastor there, so he took his double wide, and my retirement home is gone. I'm serious. I'm telling you the truth. So you never know how things are going to work down the road. I'm never going to get to retire. But, you know, it is good. Kids should take and see that their mom and dad are taken care of when they get old. And sometimes you may have to put them in a nursing home, whatever you have to do, but you ought to see that they are taken care of. And you ought not to forget them. Don't lock mom and dad away or some grandparent, and then you never see them. Don't do that to them. Pretend like that person was you. How would you like to be treated? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And so love and respect each other. It is such an important thing. This command includes a promise that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. You know, the Lord says if you do certain things that he would watch over and bless and take care and heal, protect. And he says, and none of the diseases of the Egyptians will I put upon you. See, God allows a lot of things to happen because of our rebellion. And we're facing that in our country. And it is repeated in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2 and 3. Honor thy father and mother, that it may be well with thee. I don't think God likes it when children are disrespectful to their parents. Children should never talk back to their parents or sass their parents or be rebellious to their parents. When mama says do something, Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Daddy says, do this, do that. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And you should only have to tell him one time. My dad was not a godly man. But when he told me something, one time I did it. Because I knew the consequences. But I do believe that it's a right thing to do. In those points, I did honor my mother and my father. Even though they weren't saved and they weren't godly individuals, but that was my mom and that was my dad. God says this promise includes things going well for them in life. So it's an important thing. Thou shalt not kill. This short command teaches the sanctity of human life. Because man was created in God's image, every human soul has worth or value. Therefore, to despise another person's worth or to call him a person of no value or to be angry with him without a cause are seeds that spring up in the heart that can lead to murder. The deliberate, premeditated taking of another person's life, it is wrong. And I do not believe that abortion is right. I believe that abortion is murder. It's the taking of an innocent life. The safest place in the world should be a mother's womb. And yet it's the most dangerous place in the world. It's not Afghanistan, and it's not over in Pakistan. It's not Iraq. It's in a mother's womb. Today, most of those babies in a mother's womb aren't born. They're murdered. People say, well, you know, this is a bad time for people to be having children because of the economy and how bad everything is. Jesus was born at a bad time. Moses was born at a bad time. I was born at a bad time. My parents were just coming out of the Depression. They didn't have anything. My dad had to make moonshine to keep body and soul together. They did whatever they could. He made counterfeit money. Not a joke. That's what he did. He made counterfeit quarters. He was hitchhiking. A young couple picked him up, and he was in North Florida. And he was showing them his brand new quarters he had just made. He was drunk. They took him straight to the police station. He spent more time in jail. But my dad dug wells. Remind me of Jacob's well. They dug wells. That's what my daddy did. I used to stand at the edge of the well, and I watched my daddy down there digging. And he was crippled in his right foot. His right foot went straight to the right. He had polio when he was a babe. And so you listen and you watch and you learn and see all these things and you realize that God has laid down some laws. We're to respect life. And we're not to deliberately take the life of anyone else. Would
take my place. Have you ever heard preachers tell you that you must turn from sins to be saved and go to heaven? Does that mean you must turn from only the big sins or all sins before God will save you? Pastor Yankee Arnold has prepared just the right book with answers straight from the Bible. The book is called Gospel Driven Man, and Pastor Yankee wants to send it to you free of charge. Simply write to Pastor Yankee at Yankee Arnold Ministries, 7028 West Waters Avenue, Suite 316, Tampa, Florida, 33634, and request the book, or request by email at yankee@yankeearnold.com. That's yankee@yankeearnold.com.
Thanks for listening to today's broadcast. We pray that today's message was a blessing to you and your family. You may help support this radio ministry by donating online at yankeearnold.com or by mail at Yankee Arnold Ministries, 7028 West Waters Avenue, Suite 316, Tampa, Florida, 33634.
Friend, one day it will happen. The trumpet will sound, and we will be changed, caught up to meet the Lord in the air. So live today and every day, believing that the Lord is coming soon, and just keep looking up.
Amazing grace amazes me.